seated. Hey, church, it's good to be back today. It's just crazy how much you miss your friends and your church family. Hey, Martin. But it's just good. I didn't get to have those awkward moments where I just say hi to someone while I'm preaching. Hey, guys, I want to tell you guys thank you for praying for my friend, fellow pastor in this area named Gary. And just pray for that church. For Swan Baptist Church, they're meeting for the first time without their pastor. He passed away on Monday, so keep him or his family and his church in your prayers today. But thanks for praying and joining me on that. My family, we were able to worship with you guys last week. We went to the church that Jessica and I got married in, the church that I was saved in and baptized in, and we got to go and visit them, and then we got to hurry home because you guys are. We're 2 hours ahead there in Kansas City, so then we got to worship here, and it was good, man. So thank you for Derek and Emily leading us in worship, and Brother Charles, man, thank you for leading us in preaching the Word of God, man. It was good, so I'm glad you did that. So make sure you guys encourage them on that. As a church, we've been walking through the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to tell you, sometimes we open up the Bible and we just kind of read it, right, and it kind of be... You know, just don't get excited. Ephesians is a book we should get excited about when we know who we are, when we know Jesus. Last week, we paused for a week just to, Charles, focus on Romans chapter 12 and a little bit of 13. But this week, we're back in Ephesians, and we're turning the page to chapter 5. So that's where we're going to be this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 is where we'll begin. And I just want to give us a brief overview of what God has been teaching us and reminding us. And so a lot of times when we learn, we read the Bible, we're going to start with the bad news, and then we're going to get to the really good news, okay? And so what we learned of is our identity of who we were without Jesus. Who we are, if you don't know Christ or when you didn't know Christ, the Bible tells us this. In Romans chapter 3, it tells us of our relationship status with Him. It says, for all have sinned. Each and every one of us has sinned, which means we have all fallen short of the glory of God, which means there's this separation between us and the God that we were created to be with. And then in Romans 6:23 tells us this, for the wages of sin is death. When we think about that word wages, we don't always think about it this way, but what the Bible's telling us is we worked really hard for death, right? I mean, we sin really good sometimes. And because of our sin, we deserve that eternal separation from God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, here's the greatest but in the Bible, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the bad news is this, on our own, we're broken, we're messed up, we're chained to our sin, we're separated from our Creator God, we're spiritually orphaned and spiritually dead, but God, amen? But God, not but you and me, but God. Ephesians 2:4 tells us the really good news. It tells us of this free gift we have in Jesus. It says this, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love that He had for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in trespasses, you are saved by grace. Church, for God so loved you and me that Jesus came. God in the flesh came and lived the life we could not live. He died in our place on the cross. They buried Him, but death could not hold Him. Amen? Right? He rose again on the third day as He said He would, defeating death and sin and hell. And one thing that we can say is that we serve and praise and sing to and worship a risen and living Savior. That's a good word. Amen? You are no longer, if you know Christ, you're no longer spiritually orphaned. You're no longer chained to your sin. You're no longer broken and separated from God because of what Jesus did. The Bible tells us that we need to believe in Jesus. Mark 1 says that we are to repent and turn to Jesus. When we call on Jesus, Romans 10 tells us that when we call on Jesus, He will save us. And we believe in Him as our Lord and Savior. We place our trust in Him. Here's what happens. We're no longer who we used to be. That's good news, right? No longer who you used to be, so praise God for that. We're now saved and rescued. Ephesians 1 through 3, we learn who we are now that we've been saved. Once we know Christ, this is who you are. And I'm going to say this, if you don't know Jesus, this is what God wants for you, okay? This is who He wants you to be. But if you're saved, this is your identity. You're chosen. You're adopted into the family of God. You are forgiven of each and every sin. You are heirs of God. You are redeemed and set free. You are gifted and you are sealed forever. You are now God's. And no one and nothing can take that away from you. Not because of what you've done or what I've done, but because of Jesus. From spiritually orphaned and separated from God, and now that Now we are with him, walking with him. The Bible tells us he resides within us, and we will be with him for eternity. Here's what I like. We're not just part of some Christian club. Amen, church? Right? We are now adopted into the family of God. And here's the thing. That was the first three chapters, and then here's what we're still learning and being reminded of. Because of all that, because we're followers of Jesus, because Jesus rescued us from the pits of hell and from our sin, because you're part of the family of God, God is now calling you and me and commanding us to walk or live differently. Amen? To walk differently, not to look like the world anymore. He is calling you to live the life that we were made to live. We're once following sin and the world and the devil, and now as followers of Jesus, we're now living the life we were created to live, following him and living with him. And so we learn that we're to live this life. One of the things that we learned first was this. We're to live the life together as the body of Christ. There's a saying out there, it's a lie, church, that says you don't need to be a part of the church. Man, that's a lie from hell, church. Let's just lay it out as it is. God says that you are to walk with one another. We're to be an active part of the church. We're to be devoted to one another, supporting and loving one another, and using our resources and talents and gifts together to be a part of God's mission. I'm going to tell you, man, I missed you all last week. I would not want to do life without you. It's just true. That's God's design. And then he starts to get a little personal, right? He tells us, hey, guys, now that you know Jesus, get rid of this and live this way. Amen? Right? He tells us that. Here's what he tells us. He tells us things like this. Lay aside the lying, the sinful anger, the stealing, the dishonest gain. Stop speaking in a way that is foul or unwholesome. But now as followers of Jesus, speak truth, have righteous anger, but give it to God, right? We're to work honestly and hard. Why? So that we can give to those in need. We're to speak words that are God-honoring, not words that tear down, not words that are corrupt, not words that are, you know, just foul, in words that build people up. We're to lay aside and get rid of evil and malice, and we're to be compassionate and forgiving towards others, just as Jesus forgave us. All of that brings us to our passage for today. So when we read the first word, you know what the word therefore is there for, right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at one verse this morning. You guys limit me on time. I'm just going to tackle one verse. But guess what? We're going to do it word by word this time, okay? All right. It's a verse, church. It's 8 words long. But it's so big. It's so big when it comes to how we live our lives. It is a verse that really lays out a foundation for us as we continue to walk through the rest of Ephesians. We're going to see, church, we're going to see our ultimate aim in life. We're going to see our ultimate example in how we're to live daily. So if you haven't already, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Would you guys stand as we honor God and his word? If you're able, if you're online, stand, sit, whatever's good. But here's what the word of God tells us. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Father, we love you. 8 words that should change how we live. God, we pray, Lord, today that we would listen to you. God, if there's someone listening online, someone here that doesn't know Jesus, God, we pray, Lord, today would be a day that they would surrender to you, that you would save them for eternity. God, for us that know Christ, thank you for rescuing us. Help us pursue what you're calling us to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. In chapter 4 and what we just reviewed, we see that as Jesus followers, as Christians, the Bible tells us, Paul says, hey, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you to walk worthy of a manner in which you were called. To walk worthy means to live in such a way that gives evidence that we belong to Jesus. Amen? And we've been saying that for a long time now. And Paul, in chapter 4, began by addressing areas in of our life, right? Areas of us being followers of Christ as a church, and then just areas that he knew the church of Ephesus was dealing with. Right? But also, God knew that we needed to hear this as well because we struggle with these areas too, all those things we just talked about. But then we come to verse 1 of chapter 5, and Paul lays out for us 8 words that is going to address every single area of our life. Every single area. And he begins by saying this, therefore, because of everything, because of who you are, be. be. To be imitators of God. The word be is an important word. Sometimes we look at that and we're like, okay, it's just a word to help us move along in the sense, be this, do this, right? But it's this word be is not suggesting that we be at certain times or in certain circumstances, but that we are always being or becoming. In fact, we're going to have a Greek class today. You ready? Hector, you ready, brother? The word be is the Greek word this, getomai. Can you say that with me? Getomai. And here's what that word means. It means to be, to become, or to keep on becoming. It's good to do word study, isn't it, to figure out what that little word means. So it means to become, to be, and to keep on becoming. It's an imperative, church. It's a command. And it's describing a continuous way of life. And so what Paul is doing is he's given us a command that applies to our entire life and how we live it. So let me address this real quick. This is not a command in how we live in parts of our life. The command to be or to keep on becoming isn't just something that we live out while we're at church or while we're around other Christians. We're good at that, right? But we got a whole other part of the week. It isn't just for certain days or certain times. It isn't just to be lived out while we're praying or when we're in a good place or when we're in a good mood or when things are just going great. When we are called to be, it isn't only for certain circumstances. The command is to be and to keep on becoming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Are we good? It's getting big, isn't it? Right? One word. So here it is. There is never a moment in your life that God does not want us to be something or keep on becoming. So what are we to be? We are to be and keep on becoming imitators of God. Just focus on that for a minute. To imitate means that we mimic. We follow a model or follow one's example. So earlier we saw that we're to lay aside things. We're to stop and lay aside, get rid of lying, stealing, unwholesome words and hate. And we're supposed to start pursuing and living out truth and honest work and giving and compassion and forgiveness. But now we're being told to imitate God. Are you with me, church? Like, I can attack certain areas of my life. I can stop cursing, or I can stop stealing, or I can do these things, right? I'm not a curser, but you get the thing. That wasn't really hard for me. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, what? Like, you want me to imitate God? What a heavy command. Just sit with that. That is the highest bar, the highest standard in the world to be an imitator of God. You look at that and you're like, well, God, there are things I can't do that you can do, right? All you have to do is start at the front of the Bible. In the beginning, God what? God created what? The heavens and the earth and everything that's in it. I can't do that. I know you guys have high expectations of me, but that is not something that I can do, right? We see that God sustains the world. And all that's in it, he heals the sick, he knits us together in the womb, he saves us from our sins, he knows everything, he's all powerful, and he's present everywhere. Those are things that you and I cannot do. So what does it mean, God, when you say to be or to keep on becoming imitators of you? What does that look like? Let's take a step back. When Jesus saves us, you know what he does? Remember, the Bible says that when we all sin, we all fall short of the glory of God. There's that separation. We're spiritually orphaned. But when we come to know God, when we are saved, we are brought into a personal, close, intimate relationship with our Creator God. And as we've covered so many times here at Authentic Life, He calls us to be with Him. He calls us to follow Him and to walk with Him. Right? One thing that sets Christ apart from any other religion that's taught out there in the world is we can't earn God. But, you know, it's like, hey, if you do this, you do this, you do this, then this God might like you. Or if you do this, then when you get to the pearly gates, the door might be open for you. No. God saves us because of his grace. And then he calls us to be with him, to have that personal relationship with him. And when we're with him, what are we doing? We're learning and we're following and we're walking with him. And guess what happens? We begin to see God. we begin to know God and witness and experience and learn from Him in a close and intimate and personal way. When we are with God, what do? We see His character, right? We see who He is. We see how He relates towards us and towards others. We see the reality of who God is. We at least get a glimpse of it while we're here, right? But here's the thing. We can't just stop at the seeing and knowing and the experiencing. We can't just study and watch and meditate. Our goal as Christians is not just to have the head knowledge. We're to take that next step. And we're to imitate. And we're to mimic and follow. That's why it's so important, church, that we're with Him. Let me lay this out here for you. The Christian life cannot be lived out apart from walking with God and being with Him. Can't. If we're not spending time with the Lord in His Word, if we're not in prayer, if we're not with His church, if we're not walking with Him daily, there is no way that we can even begin to think about imitating Him. The imitating comes from being with Him and following Him. Author and pastor Vance Pittman says it this way: to imitate God is this, is to allow the reality of who God is and how He relates to us to dominate every aspect of my life. Who God is and how He relates to me is to be how I live in my own life, church, and how I relate to others. That is to be my aim. When we see God and His character, when we see how Jesus walked and talked and loved and cared, when we see that He loved and he walked in truth and He was merciful, we see that He lived a life that was set apart. He lived a holy life. We see that He was always pure and righteous in how He talked and thought and lived, whether He was alone or whether He was in a crowd. We see that He, and we experience His compassion, and we see and experience His faithfulness and His kindness and forgiveness. That becomes our aim. That should be the aim for your life and my life each and every day and each and every moment, not just on Sunday mornings or during life group time. Church, God is always pure. He is always righteous. He is always loving. He is always holy. As we just sang, He is always good. That should be our aim, our goal, no matter if we are home by ourselves, if we're out in public. To imitate Him is to be our aim and our standard. In your notes, we wrote it out this way. As followers of Jesus, we are called to imitate God, to reflect God, and to let the character of God be evident in our lives. Say that again. As followers of Jesus, if you know Christ, we are called to imitate. Actually, we're commanded to imitate God, reflect God, and to let the character of God be evident in our lives. That's our aim, is to see and experience Him and to imitate Him and to see His life and to reflect that in our own lives and to let the character of God be evident in our daily lives. Guys, when we look at our own lives spiritually, when others look at our lives, does our life give evidence that I'm pursuing God's character? Our eyes should be on Him. Why? Because our standard is Him. Before we come to know Christ, and even when we do know Christ, we often set our eyes and our aim on some person. We're going to get a little personal here. We see a celebrity, and we want to be like them. We see a successful business person, and we want to follow in their steps. We see someone living a life that we desire in our flesh. And we say, you know what? That's the bar. That's the standard in my life. And so what do? It's just natural. We begin to dress like them. We begin to talk like them. We begin to work like them. We begin to act like them. We begin to reflect their lives. That's our pop culture, isn't it? I mean, some new celebrity starts wearing certain things, and all of a sudden, everybody's starting to wear that. I mean, that's what we do. We begin to reflect their lives. As Christians, even too often, we find a person to pursue. Maybe as we're trying to, we even do this when we're trying to grow in our walk with Christ, we find an author. We really like his books, and so we pay attention to that author, or a theologian, or a speaker, or a friend, or even a mentor, or a pastor. And we place them on this spiritual pedestal that they can never live up to. And we say, hey, you know what? I'm a little bit younger in my faith, right? But they're big in their faith. They're like a giant in their faith, right? And so we think, hey, you're a pretty good Christian. They live a pretty good life. And so we set out to be like them, and they become our standard. Now, let me say this. There is a place for discipleship and mentorship and imitating a person. In fact, it's biblical. Paul, the one that writes Ephesians, wrote a letter to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2. Paul tells Timothy, he said, hey, live this out and pass on the things that I've taught you. Right? Those things that you've learned from me, live them out and teach other people. 1 Corinthians 11:1, he goes and he's writing to the church in Corinth. They were struggling. They were wrestling with sin and right false teachings, and they were just weren't walking with Jesus real good when in that time. And he tells them, he says, guys, be imitators of me, Paul says. But then he doesn't just put a period, does it? He says, just as I also am of Christ. In both scenarios, Paul is not the ultimate standard. Christ is. God is. The Word of God is. Paul says, imitate me as I'm imitating Christ. So here's what he's saying. If I'm not imitating Christ, you better not imitate me. Amen? Because he's the standard. Not Paul, not me. Church, as your pastor, just as a follower of Christ, I want to live a life that points people to Jesus. Amen, right? I want to live a life that reflects Jesus. I want to live a life that follows Jesus, right? But I'm not perfect. That's where you say amen, right? I don't always get it right. You don't either. And so we cannot be the standard. We can be an example. We can be good examples. We can help others as they follow Jesus, but we are not to be the ultimate standard because we set the bar way too low. How often do we see pastors fall and leaders fall and then others fall with them because they put that pastor or that leader or that speaker or that celebrity as their standard when it should have been God the entire time? We can't be the bar. No person can be that ultimate bar. That position belongs to God alone. And so, church, I just want to challenge you to take some time and think through that. Who have you set as the standard in your life? Now, let me be clear. I want to live a life that my boys look up and say, I want to be a daddy like that. Right? I want to love my wife like daddy loves mommy. But I mess up. Just ask my wife. Right? Just sometimes. Right? A little bit. A little bit. As followers of Christ, he's the standard. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen? It's a good place to say amen, church. All right? And I'll be honest with you. As I was studying this, as I was preparing, and then laying in bed last night just praying about it, this command to imitate God, it's kind of heavy. Are you with me? So Paul helps us a bit with it. He helps us understand how. What does this look like? How are we to experience and live this out? So we're going to look in this passage and we're going to look at a couple supporting passages. But this verse right here, he says this, therefore, because you follow Christ, because you belong to him, because he rescued you from the pits of hell, right? Therefore, be imitators of God and keep on becoming imitators of God as beloved what? Children. Take that in for a second. Paul is telling us, who we are. If you've been saved by Jesus, that is who you are. A beloved child of God, right? You're a beloved child of God, and as a beloved child of God, with him as the perfect father, here's what that means. You are now perfectly and fully loved by God. We've all been let down by people that love us. Amen? God won't let us down. He fully and perfectly loves us, and in return, as his children, we love God as our heavenly father. We live to please him. We live to trust in him. We fix our eyes on him and our hearts and our minds on him. I think about my kiddos. Think about your own kiddos, right? Kids often look like their parents. We got to visit family. I hadn't seen my brother in quite some time. And my oldest nephew, how old is he? 12? Almost 12? Dude looks just like my brother. Poor dude. You know, I'm just like, man, I'm just kidding. If you're listening, man, just. But, I mean, here's the thing, church. Like, you begin to look, or your kids look like you, right? But here's what always happens. They're a reflection of you in many other ways. This might be the moment you cringe a little bit, right? Their mannerisms are like you. They often like what you like, or act like you act and talk like you talk. Why? Because they spend time with you. Because there's a close relationship with you. They see you and they experience you and they follow you. And guess what? Whether we like it or not, they're going to imitate you. They imitate us, reflect us, and they live out many of our characteristics. And that, church, is God's design for us with Him. Because He's perfect. That's the experience He has for us with Him. He loves us as His children, and He brings us into a close relationship with Him that, guess what, leads us into imitating Him. Just focus on that. Understand that. It's out of that relationship. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are fully adopted into the family of God. You're fully loved by God as His child. If you're here today, if you're online, and if you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've not been saved, this is God's design for you. He wants you to know Him personally and be loved like you've never been loved before as His beloved child. And the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us very clearly, it's very possible for that, but it's only through trusting in Jesus and calling on Him to save you. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Jesus lived the life we couldn't live. He died the death we deserved to die, and now He's calling us to follow Him and to turn to Him. Will you do that? Romans chapter 10. Call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Will you call on Jesus to save you? God wants you to be His forever as His beloved child. So we can keep on becoming imitators of God out of the relationship that we have with Him. Here's how we put it. We imitate God the Father as His beloved children. That's how we imitate Him. We don't imitate Him as a celebrity. We don't imitate Him as a person that we're looking up to. We imitate God the Father as His beloved children. We can imitate, reflect, and live out His characteristics in our life because of the relationship we have with Him as beloved children. And think about that. Children, we are with Him. We follow Him. We learn from Him. We hear from Him and experience Him. And that leads to us imitating Him. But here's another reality. Here's another reality. We cannot do that on our own. It is impossible through our own strength to do that. There are certain things that I want my boys to do, but they can't do it on their own. Amen? Right? We do that. We got to help them. It's impossible through their own strength. Out of our own power, out of your own power, doesn't matter how big or small you are in the faith, it is impossible to imitate and reflect God and live out His character on our own. But here's the good news. God's pretty smart. Amen? He loves you, He knows you, and He already knew that about you. God already knew that we were going to be unable to imitate Him on our own. And that was never God's design for us to live on our own. If that was the case, He would save us and then just move on. But we're reminded over and over again in Scripture that when we follow Him, when we are saved, church, He promises never to leave us or forsake us. He promises to be with us until the end of the age. He calls us to be with Him and to walk with Him. And He invites us into that. He adopts us into the family of God as the beloved children. We weren't meant to do it on our own. And while it is impossible to imitate God on our own, it is possible to imitate God. It is only possible through His strength in us. One of the prayers that we prayed, Jessica and I, before we moved here, and we've been praying as a church ever since, is God do things in and through us that only You can take credit for. That's what we're talking about. To imitate God can only be done through His strength in us. What does that look like? Back in Ephesians chapter 1, we see that when we follow Jesus, when we're saved, the Bible tells us we're adopted into the family of God, and guess what? We're given the Holy Spirit. If you're listening today and you don't know about the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, there's some religions, teachings, cults out there that will teach that He's just a moving force. Well, there's news for you. The Bible tells us that He is a person. He's the third person in the Trinity. You've got God the Father, fully God. You've got God the Son, Jesus, fully God. And you've got God the Holy Spirit, still fully God. And at the moment you were saved, the Bible tells us that He came to dwell within you. Think about that. You have God within you. Allowing you and empowering you to live out this life. And we don't just see it here in Ephesians. Romans chapter 8 tells us the Spirit of God dwells in you. 2 Timothy 1 tells us the Holy Spirit dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, it'll be up here, says this. Don't you yourselves know, talking to Christians, that you are God's temple? And guess what? The Spirit of God lives in you. He lives in you. Galatians chapter 5, we see something really important with all of knowing that the Spirit lives within us. As followers of Christ, as Christians, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit. And you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. Don't raise your hands, because we would all raise our hands. We're tempted to follow the desires of the flesh each and every day, amen, right? We don't want to do that. We walk by the Spirit. We let the Lord lead us. To walk by the Spirit is a continuous action. Sound familiar? Be or keep on becoming. It's a way of life for us as Christians. We're to live our lives 24/7, walking and listening to God within us as He leads us and empowers us to follow God and to imitate Him. So what does it look like to walk by the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 shows us when we walk by the Spirit, here's what comes out. By the way, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, notice it doesn't say the fruits, right? This isn't a buffet where we go and we pick the fruits that we want. When we walk by the Spirit, this is what comes out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? When we live or walk by the Holy Spirit, we live out these things. We walk in love and in joy and in peace and in patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. When we rely on the strength of the Holy Spirit, when we rely on the strength of God, we can live those things out. Guess who lived that out perfectly? Jesus, God in the flesh. The one we're called to imitate. That's the life that Jesus lived out. This is who He is. He is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So when we walk by the Spirit, we can live that out. We can imitate God. So we cannot imitate God on our own, but we can when we rely on the power of God within us. God, do things in and through us that only You can take credit for. When we walk with the Lord and rely on Him, we can imitate Him. We can reflect Him and live out His characteristics in our life. There's a flip side to that. When we're not walking with Him, that means we're relying on our own strength. When we're not walking with God, when we're not in His Word, when we're not with the church, when we aren't walking by the Spirit, we are then at those points controlled by our flesh and we lose the ability to pursue and imitate God in that moment. Does that make sense? We can only live that life when we're walking by the Spirit. So when His life is the standard, we as beloved children of God are to rely on His strength and then we can imitate Him. Church, as we close out, here's the reality. This is a big calling. This is a big command laid out for us this morning. I can work on my language. I can work on compassion, right? Jessica and I talk about it all the time. Got to put my compassion pants on today, right? People are tough to deal with. Are you with me? We can do those things, but now imitate God? Oh, as beloved children. And the only way for you and me to live that out, the only way that you and I can imitate and reflect and live out the characteristics of God in our daily lives is to be walking daily with Him. That's it. My ability to imitate and reflect and live this out comes from my daily pursuit of God in my life as His beloved child. Your ability to imitate and reflect and live this out comes from your daily pursuit of God in your life as His beloved child. If you're not a beloved child, you can't live it out. If you're doing it on your own, you can't live it out. I want to show you something. This is Jessica and I's, I think it's our favorite illustration, right? You know where we're going, right? And I think you guys have seen some of this before, but it's a perfect picture of what God wants to do in and through us as we follow Him. So here's what I want to show you. Without Christ, right, what we get on our own, with that, when we follow the life of us, and we follow our pleasures and our desires, and we follow the world, and you get what I'm saying? This is what it looks like, right? It's darkness, it's sin, it's corrupt, it's just ungodly, right? And so Jesus comes and He saves us, right? And then when we spend time with Him, I better do this over here. I'm gonna get in trouble. Okay. I forgot the bucket in the first service. They had to run and get one for me as I was pouring, okay? Here's the thing. When we spend time with God, when we see Him and we experience Him, right? Can you guys see? His life just begins to infiltrate ours and changes from the inside out. Things that nobody else can do, Right? It just starts to change from the inside out. That's what God does when we spend time with him and we hang out with him and we relate with him and we walk with him. And then all of a sudden he starts to change us. And guess what starts to come out of us? Jesus starts to come out of us. The work. Are you guys with me? Can you guys see it okay? Oh, goodness. I'm making a mess. All right? I don't know how to do this. I'm just going to bring it over there to you, okay? But guys, I'm just telling you. Man, here's what ends up happening. Oh, this is not good. Our life begins to look from the inside out. It just starts to pour out of us. My wife is going to judge me on that later, okay? Jeff, this is what you should have done instead. Did you see it? I'm going to show you. You see? Are you with me? And it begins to pour out. It changes us from the inside out. You're good. We'll figure it out later. When we're intentional about being with him, as his children, his life begins to pour into ours, right? And it begins to change us from the inside out, and then his life begins to pour out of ours, and then it becomes evident that we're followers of Christ, right? Like his characteristics starts to flow out of us. Our lives begin to imitate his. Our lives begin to reflect his values and his will, and his characteristics become evident in our lives. People see that, but it can't be done by us. It can't be done when we pursue somebody else. It can only be done when we pursue him. The question for you today is this: who is your standard that you are pursuing? Who are your eyes focused on? God is calling, but also commanding us to be and to keep on becoming, not like the person next to you, not like me, not like your mentor, but like him. Church, I'll tell you what. We live in a broken world, amen? We live in a world that needs Jesus. Better clean this up. My wife had this made for me, and Jason made this one. I got it, bro. We're good. We live in a world that needs Jesus. If we want to see the world flipped upside down, let's begin to live lives that look like his. Let's live out kindness and peace and faithfulness and love and compassion and truth. Let's live lives that give evidence that he's at work within us. Let's live lives that when people look at us, it points people to Jesus. Christian, today, is God the standard in your life? Or have you let somebody else take that place? Is there something in your life that's keeping us from being with God? Is there something in your life that keeps us from imitating and pursuing God? Let me tell you something. There's an enemy at work in your life. The Bible tells us that he's prowling around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. It doesn't say that he can just snip at, destroy, tear apart. Satan knows what he's doing, and he's attacking that relationship. He's trying to keep you and me from spending time we need with God and with God's people. Church, as followers of Christ, what is God speaking to you today? What is God teaching you today? As we prayed, as we began today's service, listen to what God is telling you and respond to that. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're online, and you don't have this relationship with God. You don't know Jesus. You might be religious. You might listen to Caleb. You might even typed in Christian on Facebook. So you're good. But no, you don't know Jesus. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. You've not turned to Jesus and called on him to save you. Let me just be very clear. I or others would love to open up the Word of God and show you how much Jesus loves you. Show you the life that he has for you. Show you that he died in your place and he rose again so that we could be adopted in the family of God and called a child of God, but it's only possible through Jesus Christ. So the question is, will you respond to Jesus today to be saved? If we confess with our mouth Jesus Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But God's grace is good. As we close today, Christians, this is a pivotal point. It's a pivotal point for us. Who's our standard? As Derek comes up and plays, church, I just want to challenge you. Close your eyes. Spend that time with God. What is he teaching you? What is he saying to you? If you don't know Jesus, please don't ignore Christ. Don't ignore his calling in your life. recognize that there's sin in each and every life, and that sin separates us from God and separates us from eternity. But Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again so that we could spend eternity with him. He could wipe those sins away and begin to change us on the inside out so that we can imitate God. That's the life he has for you. So if you don't know Jesus today, if you're online or if you're in here today, man, fill out that connection card online and we would love to connect with you. Reach out to us, email me, call us. If you're here today, I just want to challenge you, church. If you don't know Jesus, why? Will you respond to Jesus to save you today? If you want to respond to Christ today, just slip your hand up. You don't have to look this way. I won't call you up. Talk right after church. If you're online, fill out that connection card on our front page of our website and let us know or email me. We'll connect with you today. If you don't know Christ today and you're here in person, just slip your hand up. We can talk right after church. I'd love to pray with you or have someone talk with you. Christians, as you just hang out with Jesus today, what's he teaching you? What's he asking you to do? Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. Thank you for while we were still sinners, loving us so much that Jesus came to die for us. God, help us love you. Help us respond to you. Help us imitate you. Help us be with you. Help us learn from you. Help us help our lives reflect you. Help you. Help us have you as our standard and not somebody else. Help us move from knowledge to experience to living it out. God, I pray, Lord, if someone's here today that does not know Jesus, God, I pray, Lord, today would be that day. We live in a world, if we're figuring it out right now, we live in a world of uncertainty. Only you know. Only you know what's happening, God. We pray, Lord, that today, if someone does not know Christ, that today would be the day. That you'd save me. God, as followers of Christ, help us pursue. In Jesus' name.